If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Bright and early on a round of 64 Friday at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament, and the opening round of 64 Friday at the 2025 Women's NCAA Tournament. 32 total games, 16 in each bracket, of course, with about 13 consecutive hours of college basketball coming your way on this glorious, glorious Friday. If you enjoyed round of 64 Thursday at the Big Dance, the great news is you get to do it once again. DRS, a lot to break down. We recap every game, all of the big moments, the upsets, looking at you, McNeese and Drake, the close calls, and even the blowouts from round of 64 Thursday, at the tournament. We'll set the stage for this Friday. Check in elsewhere around the world of sports. We've got 3 hours to do so up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Ready to go on a Friday, and a glorious Friday it's going to be, as we're going to tip again right around noontime today, and off we go to around 1 or 2 a.m., depending how late some of these games go out on the West Coast. But I enjoyed myself yesterday, and I always love this. I didn't make it out of the first game without taking a loss in my bracket, which is always beautiful. And I talk about sometimes not second-guessing yourself. I was actually 2-1 yesterday on second-guessing myself, which is key. But the first game of the day, I did make my change, and Creighton absolutely shot the lights out yesterday. But it was okay. Didn't lose any teams, Ben, that I had anticipating winning a round of 32. So we're still swimming. We're still alive. The vibes are high.
DRS, as long as the big boys are still in, as long as your Sweet 16, Elite 8, and even namely Final Four and National Championship teams and contenders are still surviving and advancing, your bracket does not bust. You do not need to rip it up, and you can still find some winning wagers each and every step along the NCAA tournament. But maybe, certainly in the opening round, you want to pick an upset or two. Like, how about that classic 12-5, which is what we saw in the Midwest region yesterday in Providence, Rhode Island. McNeese winning its first ever NCAA tournament game in program history, as the Cowboys made things very interesting late, but do knock off Clemson, winning outright as a 7.5-point underdog, 69-67. You see that 2-point margin, you might have thought this was back and forth tight throughout. McNeese led by more than 20 in the second half with about 8.5 minutes remaining. Clemson did start to shoot better, finding its way back, but McNeese does pull off the upset for its first ever victory in the Big Dance.
Not a great look for the ACC, as we'll get to that and more just a little bit later with some other teams around the ACC. But my goodness, like, McNeese beat a solid Clemson team by shooting 43% from the floor, which included 21% from three-point range and 50% from the free throw line. That's unbelievable. It just shows you how good a defensive effort McNeese had in the first half, limiting Clemson, an ACC team with 27 wins on the season, to 13 points. Yeah, you'll see that final score. It really wasn't that close to begin with.
DRS, I've had some bad beats in my life, as we all have, as you have, as anybody watching this show, I'm sure has as well. I had the under yesterday of 133.5 between the Pokes and the Tigers, expecting if McNeese was going to triumph, it would be on the defensive end of the floor. Oh, I've had some bad beats, my friend, but none that really wanted to make me rip my heart out. Like yesterday. But hey, McNeese wins. Will Wade very happy, even if these are the final few games he will coach in Lake Charles or for the team for Lake Charles. He's locked in, DRS. Don't you ever doubt it. So that was our first upset of the day. McNeese winning outright as a 7.5-point dog, sending Clemson packing. Our second upset was a team that many people expected to win outright. A team that some, including myself, have seen the second weekend. A team that had not won outside of the first four in the Big Dance since the early 1970s. And that happened yesterday. Drake pulls off the upset against Missouri. We highlighted Bennett Sturts, the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. And boy, was he sensational yesterday. The Bulldogs win by double digits outright as a 6.5-point underdog against Mizzou.
Missouri tried to make some runs during that game, and Bennett Sturts with one of those crazy, you know, running three-point shots all bottom of the net. He was incredible yesterday, going 3-for-3 from deep and also 8-of-11, very efficient from the floor. But we talk about efficiency. Like, Missouri's one of the most efficient teams in the country. Where is the efficiency? This is what you get from the tournament sometimes, and this isn't even like versus like competition where I always say, Ben, like, well, Drake is really efficient. What did you want to be extra efficient against an SEC program? It's like the role reverse here. Like, Missouri should have been extra efficient against Drake, but when you have a team that's won 30-plus games on the season, they're used to winning games, and they're not going to be shaken by the circumstances that surround them. Credit Drake, the better basketball team, up at the half and won that basketball game. So there you go. Drake moves on. A lot of people predicted Drake having a win or two in this tournament.
A team that is used to winning games, a team that has now won 31 games, led by a head coach that is a four-time national champion at the D2 level. What a matchup in the round of 64 last night in Providence between John Calipari and his Arkansas Razorbacks, Bill Self in the preseason number one in Kansas. It got interesting late, but Arkansas does prevail for a round of 64 win over Bill Self, 79-72. The Hogs win outright, DRS, as a 5.5-point underdog. It was your best bet yesterday, Arkansas to cover. How about Arkansas just to win?
Yeah, how about that? 47-44, high-scoring first half here, and Arkansas was better in the second half as well, 32-28. It's one of those things where this is a fitting way for the Jayhawks to go out. All the expectations to start the season, maybe you get that second rebirth in your second season in the NCAA tournament. It didn't happen here. Coach Cal coaches team to a victory. How about Boogie Flan? Not all that impressive yesterday, but did get the 24 minutes in after the long layoff. Maybe he can continue getting more of those minutes and be more effective as you go. Good win by the Arkansas Razorbacks, setting up exactly what we want to see in the round of 32.
A slow start for St. John's in their opening half yesterday against Omaha, only up by 5 at the break. But Rick Pitino, known for his fiery locker room speeches, I'm sure late into the Red Storm, the Johnnies prevail, even covering, winning by 30 against Omaha. It will be John Calipari in Arkansas against Rick Pitino and St. John's on Saturday afternoon in Providence in a round of 32. The Michigan Wolverines got off to a great start yesterday, DRS, in Denver against UC San Diego. Blitzed the Tritons from the start, led by double digits at the half, up by 15 early in the second, only for that likely Cinderella and UC San Diego to claw its way back. We had a tie game late. Trey Donaldson and Michigan do survive. The 17th game for the Maize and Blue this year, decided by 4 points or fewer. Michigan's won 13 of them. They knock off the Tritons 68-65, even covering as a 2.5-point favorite.
That was a crazy game because, you know, rolling over, just checking some scores last night, I did see that halftime number. Like, okay, Michigan's going to handle that one easy. Saw the final score and went over some of the box score. It's 2 minutes left in the game. I believe San Diego actually had a one-point lead before a big shot made by the Michigan Wolverines to propel them ahead. You want to talk about a scare, you got one. This is one of those teams that everybody predicted an upset, and it's a shame because you were almost right, and you didn't even get the cover either. It's sort of like that double whammy, but a great comeback from San Diego falls short. Credit Michigan for hanging in there against a quality opponent.
The best player for UCSD, Aniwa Tate Jones, fouling out midway through the second half with only 7 points. Speaking of jumping on an opponent from the very jump, that is what Gonzaga did yesterday to Georgia. Big victory for Mark Few and his Bulldogs, 89-68. Winning by 21, the Zags cover as a 6.5-point favorite.
awesome round number 32 game setup. And in this one, it was Gonzaga from the jump. And this is one of those second guess games. Like, hey, SEC Georgia, let me put them in immediately into my brackets. Thought better of it on Wednesday. Switched it over to Gonzaga. Good move. They looked impressive.
I guess the NBA played last night. The Warriors win. Steph Curry exits early with a pelvic contusion. The Indiana Fever, speaking of the WNBA, will play a ton of games on national TV. Bounty 64 recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We recap the round of 64 Thursday of the 2025 men's NCAA tournament. And as we said at the very start of this Friday here on the Early Line, the beautiful thing is we get to do it once again on this Friday as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So, DRS, as we look at everything that we saw yesterday, let's start with the big upsets. The 12 over 5, McNeese knocking out Clemson, and the 11 over the 6 in the West region. That would be Drake defeating Missouri. Let's start with those McNeese Cowboys. The Pokes yesterday, led by Will Wade, with all the conversation around their head man, more than likely taking the NC State job as soon as this magical March run for McNeese comes to a close. Would they be focused? Would they be in it? Last year, they were the trendy 12 over 5 pick as well. Got blown out by Gonzaga by more than 20. How would they handle this moment on a Thursday afternoon in Providence with flying colors? They win 69-67 over the Clemson Tigers, a team who was 18-2 in the ACC, an Elite Eight team a season ago. McNeese wins outright as a 7.5-point underdog. We'll talk about that total in just a little bit because, again, oh boy. But McNeese, first tournament victory in program history, and Will Wade was ecstatic in the celebration of it.
You saw that, you know, when the brackets came out, the analysts immediately went to this game. Watch out for McNeese. Same thing they did last year, though, but we thought this might be, okay, maybe the lights were too bright last year. They weren't this year. And also, there's a way to beat a team, and there's a way to embarrass a team. And you might still see that 69-67 and say, boy, Clemson came all the way back in the second half, and they get a little bit of credit for that. But you get no credit for 13 points in the first half. And every tweet that came out from every major account was like, wow, talking about bully ball in this game. It wasn't Clemson bullying the lowly McNeese Cowboys. It was the Cowboys bullying the Tigers yesterday. And it was apparent. 31-13. Like, sometimes you expect that from, like, a Houston to beat down a team that's like a lower mid-major, not from a lower mid-major to beat down an ACC team, as Ben pointed out, at 18-2 on the season. 54 points in the second half doesn't hold up. But also understand this. McNeese understands you're not going to win in this way going up against more efficient teams that have a better offense. And Purdue, certainly with one of those efficient offenses that can score every which way. Love the defense. Love the athletic ability. A little bit scare at the end, but you still get credit for that victory.
Yep.
But winning a game, again, at 21% from the three-point line and 50% from the free throw line, that usually doesn't do it. But it just shows you, again, how dug in defensively the Cowboys were. Getting an 18-point lead at the first half break, that's enough to carry over. Good win for the Cowboys.
Up by 24 early in the second half as well. Now let's talk that total. 133.5. As I said, we've all had some bad beats in our life. But Donnie, I bet the under of this game, expecting McNeese to maybe pull off the upset. If they were going to do so, it would be that sensational defense orchestrated by Will Wade. By the way, against his alma mater, he did go to Clemson. 31-13 in the first half. 44 combined points, 13 for the 18-win ACC team, only for Clemson to score 54 in the second half, 92 combined. Frankly, I can't get mad at the Pokes. Christian Shoemate is one of the best leapers and dunkers in college basketball. They were having their moment. They are living it up in the month of March, as they should. They weren't necessarily icing away the shot clock on possessions either. I truly could not believe my eyes. Under 3 minutes, Clemson now all of a sudden could not miss from three. McNeese is dunking with 23 seconds left on the shot clock. And DRS, I'm saying to myself as I am watching in my apartment, this is going to go over. I'm going to lose this game. And yeah, it did go that way.
Yeah, they're the tough ones, because when you have that type of first half, most of the time you're expecting to be in the game one way or another. But when you get that great start where a team scores 13 points and you go like, well, boy, even if they're three times as good in the second half, they wind up somewhere in the 30s with their points and you live with that. But a 13 first half and a 54 second half, that's an interesting, you know, switch over per se, because McNeese plays great defense. And yes, Clemson sooner or later was going to start to make some shots. But how many shots are they going to hit? That was an incredible amount in the second half. I'd love to see if we had any sort of research on a point differential between two halves there where one team only scored in the teens, because sometimes you have, hey, we scored 25 and then 60 in the second half. Oh, that's really interesting. But a team that couldn't find anything, couldn't hit water from a boat at that point, 13 points at the break, then score 54 in the second half, that's got to be an anomaly.
It certainly was. Cost me an under. Hey, that's okay. That's personally about me. We'll talk about the ACC in just a little bit as we go to our first game of opening round of 64 Thursday in the South region between Creighton and Louisville. But DRS, let's keep diving through the Cinderella upsets that we saw on Thursday. That includes the 11 seed in the West region, the Drake Bulldogs, knocking off the 6 seed, another team out of the SEC in Missouri. We know that Drake is a really good team. I have the Bulldogs in my Sweet 16. I bet on Drake at a plus 1080 number to reach the second weekend. They win round of 64 in their matchup against Mizzou by double digits, 67-57, outright as a 6.5-point underdog. But Donnie, that's what a lot of people expected. One of the heaviest bets around all of the sports book was on Drake to cover as a 6.5-point dog. Spooked me a little bit. Should have never doubted Bennett Sturts and Ben McCollum. They pick up the upset over Mizzou.
Yeah, this is one of those teams, certainly, you can see them possibly winning another game even against all odds there. You take a look at a very good Missouri team and a very efficient Missouri team, which is why I first looked at that total, which was hovering around 132.5 to 133.5, and say, well, Missouri's, I mean, they got to get at least 65, 70 points in this game, right? And if it's they're the underdog Drake, maybe they have to pick up their pace just a little bit. Never happened. 67-57 final, and Missouri only scored 57 points in that game. So this was exactly the footprint that Drake wanted entering into this game, and it played out accordingly.
DRS, we talked about it entering this game. Mizzou was one of our favorite bets to the over at the end of the regular season. They were a team that played with pace, but we knew that Drake, who has the slowest tempo in college basketball, 364 of 364, selective in their shot process, grinding down the clock until the end of the shot clock. And you saw the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year in Bennett Sturts perform on the biggest stage. 21 points, perfect from deep, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. The first time Drake will advance to route number 2 in the NCAA tournament since 1971. What Ben McCollum has done in his first year in Des Moines to continue the great basketball tradition with the Bulldogs, it is something to know. Plenty more from Thursday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first game of round of 64 Thursday at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament. A slight upset as well. Just one spot of differential on the seed line and only a 2.5-point spread. But man, when the Creighton Blue Jays shoot the ball as well as they did yesterday, it's going to be a good tournament for CU. They knock out Louisville, the 8 seed out of the ACC, like Clemson, an 18-win conference season, 89-75. Creighton wins outright, DRS, as a 2.5-point underdog. A total at 142 and a hook does sky over.
Yeah, 57% as a team from the floor for Creighton. It was evident in the first half as they dropped 49 points on Louisville. And this was actually a good game pretty early in there. Bouncing back and forth, Louisville making some runs. And by that final 5 to 6 minute stands where Creighton just took control of that, it was over at the break. Second half, they just put it on cruise control, 41-40 win in the second half for the Louisville Cardinal. But for me, just watching this game, it was almost like, boy, why did I switch it here? Because there's so many different ways that the Creighton Blue Jays can actually score, particularly from the three-point line. 46% as a team. They can throw flames. They got a big guy. They can play defense and add offense. The lobs are there all game. Louisville just didn't have enough, even though that place was rocking in the favor of the Louisville Cardinal, and it didn't matter. Creighton was just a better team.
A huge day for Jermaine Neal, the Arizona State transfer, for Greg McDermott and his Blue Jays. 29 points. Stephen Ashworth, who is a great sharp shooter, 4 triples as well. Creighton wins outright as that 2.5-point underdog, 89-75. DRS, one of the marquee games of our Thursday in the round of 64. Bill Self in the Kansas Jayhawks on the 7 line in the West region against John Calipari and the 10 seed in the West region in Arkansas. It was your favorite bet of the round of 64. The Razorbacks, with Boogie Flan back in the rotation, just playing better basketball in the final month and a half of their SEC slate, at least keeping the game close in covering as a 5.5-point underdog. Not just a cover for Cal and his Hogs, an outright victory, 79-72. Arkansas wins outright, advancing to the round of 32.
It's funny, too, because I started the season with Kansas messing around here at the FanDuel Sportsbook with a player prop parlay, and Zeke Mayo was a big part of that, as well as Hunter Dickinson's rebounds. So it's fitting they ended the season, but also helping me out with my best bet of the day with the Arkansas Razorbacks 79-72 victory. It wasn't so much of a great handicap. I'm like, you know what? Arkansas can do some things to Kansas and should be able to expose them. We know Kansas plays pretty good defense, and the pedigree is there with a lot of really good players and a really good head coach, but something was just amiss all season long. So when you started the graded out at the end of the season, Arkansas a better team at the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season, and Boogie Flan coming back. And they said, well, Don, if your handicap was Boogie Flan coming back, that makes all the difference. Well, he did play 24 minutes. He is a veteran player there, didn't play all that well, which now you say maybe he gets his legs under him for the round of 32. But taking the 5.5 points was the key for me, as you saw yesterday with the FanDuel Sportsbook bouncing between 4.5 and 5.5 points. Was I do think Arkansas can win. I just don't trust Kansas as a double-digit winner in this game because they haven't played that way all year long. Taking the Arkansas Razorbacks, put them in my pool, worked out, moved them forward, but also even better, the 5.5 points was a steal in this one. They were fantastic all the way through Arkansas.
Over 147.5. Arkansas led by double digits. KU did battle its way back. But for the Jayhawks, history you do not want to have. Preseason number one for the second consecutive year. Ousted by the opening weekend in the Big Dance for a second consecutive year. The first time that the Jayhawks have lost in a round of 64 game since 2006, nearly two decades ago. DRS, throughout this season, we highlighted KU's struggle, a perennial powerhouse in the Big 12, dropping at least 8 conference games in 2 straight years. The first time that KU had done that since the late 80s, which was the last time that Kansas even missed the NCAA tournament. This was the first time in a while in the Big Dance the Jayhawks were not on a 4 line or better. A lot to figure out for Bill Self this offseason in Lawrence, including roster construction. Because when you have Hunter Dickinson and A.J. Storr and Zeke Mayo and other guys you have recruited to be in that program, and it doesn't work out, I think you're left with a lot of questions and looking for those answers.
Yep, and those answers are going to come from a brown paper bag with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in NIL money to try to rebuild that roster. That didn't work out. And this wasn't one of those teams like, hey, the little engine that could, one of those years we expected to be down. Kansas was expected to compete for a national championship. And as you said, first time in a long time getting bounced in round number one, and deservingly so. They should have got bounced. That's how they played this year, and they played exactly the same way in the tournament, Ben.
So, Kansas out in the opening round. 2 ACC teams that won 18 conference games bounced from the Big Dance as well. Plenty more recaps setting the stage for everything you will see in the tournament next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 12 over the 5, always an upset people look at in the round of 64 at an NCAA tournament. McNeese plucks off Clemson, that happening in the Midwest region. How about one DRS that many people felt was likely in the South region as well? The champions of the Big Ten tournament in Michigan playing their best basketball, now in tournament play in March, taking on a 30-win team in the champions out of the Big West Conference. That would be UC San Diego in their 5th year as a D1 program, their first year eligible for the NCAA tournament. The Tritons into the Big Dance for the first time ever. So much love for UC San Diego in the market, moving a 4.5 3.5-point spread. It opened down to just a 2.5-point spread yesterday as we got the tip late night in Denver, Colorado. And yet, it was Michigan prevailing in a close game, which has been the story for the Maize and Blue all year long. 68-65, even a cover for the Wolverines as they knock out UC San Diego. But the final score decided by a hook when it comes to that spread, and 3 points in the outright number. Really, DRS does not tell the story. Michigan blitzed UC San Diego right out the gate. They were up 10-0 like that. They led by double digits at the break. The Maize and Blue led by as many as 15 points early in the second half before the Tritons started to find their footing. Three ball going down, turning Michigan over constantly, leading to good looks. UC San Diego came all the way back to take their first lead in the game. With about 2.5 minutes remaining, only for Trey Donaldson and the Wolverines to answer and for Michigan to come out with a 68-65 win.
That's the MO for Michigan all season long, winning and winning close here. So you could say they were very comfortable with the way that game finished here, even though they lost the lead that they had the entire game in the final few moments. But also understand when you're picking your brackets out, right? Sometimes you get caught up in, you got to pick a couple 12 seeds, you got to pick a couple 11 seeds here. And looking at the game saying, well, I don't really see the upsets, but I have to pick a couple. Don't we always end up going like, well, this is the game I got to pick. And wait a second, you know, 12 seeds won. I picked the opposite 12 seeds that lost and the other ones that I had wins from an 0-4 in those bracket rounds. You always have to make sure you're careful which ones you're picking out. But for me, it was yesterday sticking with the right thing. Bigger conference, good team in Michigan, playing great basketball at the end of the season. Don't outsmart myself. And I thought it was a genius pick at 41-27 at the break, only to wake up to see how close it was. But again, the prevailing line was 2.5. You picked Michigan to move on in your bracket. Both of those things still happen, and that's a quality victory. Most people went, you see San Diego took Michigan all the way down to the wire. That was a good team. Like, the handicap yesterday, just with the line was, you better be taking San Diego. That's respect here. Why is it only 2.5? It's there for a reason. They have a legitimate chance to win, and they did at the end of the game. But credit Michigan for getting the victory when so many people saw that bracket come out. Like, you know what? That's a spot for an upset right there. Move San Diego to the next round, and it was Michigan prevailing at the end.
Dusty May in Michigan. That was the 17th game this season for the Maize and Blue, decided by 4 points or fewer. They are 13-4 outright in those games, including 11 consecutive wins in games decided by at least, or at maximum, I should say, a 4-point margin. So Michigan advances on to the round of 32. Who will the Wolverines see? That's the 4 seed in the South region, Texas A&M. My best bet yesterday, Yale to keep it close and maybe strike the upset. The 13 seed over the 4 as the Bulldogs, the champions of the Ivy League, did a year ago. A&M had other ideas. The Aggies prevail 80-71. Texas A&M does cover in that game as well. The Aggies DRS were really good offensively yesterday, shooting the 3-ball a little bit better than I anticipated. Decided by single digits. But Yale was hardly really ever within that striking margin, even being around the 7.5-point spread that we saw pregame.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people like Yale, and rightfully so, because one of those teams where you just think Ivy League, like back with Princeton, it's like run that offense, backdoor cutting screens, really frustrating, 55-52 final. But it's like, you know what? This is the new wave of the Ivy League. They can get up and down the court. They can shoot the 3-point shot. They can be really efficient at times. But sometimes you just take a look at the Ivy League and match it up against the SEC. And Texas A&M really didn't do themselves any favors. Like, they were efficient from a scoring percentage of 51.7% from the floor, but only 24% from three-point range and 57% from the free throw line. The upset was there to be had. So credit the Texas A&M Aggies here for taking on a strong Yale team and getting the cover. The 7.5's out there, just missing out. We understand that. But a good win by the Aggies overall, because they were ripe for the upset the way they shot from the free throw line and the three-point line yesterday.
Donnie, one of the big keys for that matchup, how would Yale defend the glass? Would they keep Texas A&M, the best offensive rebounding team in the nation, off the offensive boards? They did a decent job, only 10 for A&M, but a huge day for Pharrell Payne, the Minnesota transfer, in the big off the bench for Buzz Williams. 25 points, 10 of 12 from the floor, and 10 boards. I expected more out of Yale. John Poulakidas was okay, 4 of 10 from deep, 23 points. But another all-Ivy League performer in Bez Mbeng, 0 for 0-5 from the floor. You can't have your best players not show up on the biggest stage of the year if you are going to strike the upset or even cover as an underdog. So, round of 32 in Denver. It'll be Michigan and Texas A&M on Saturday. Top of the South region, that would be the Auburn Tigers, our number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And Donnie, we all were debating, how would Auburn come out and respond after dropping three of their final four games before the big dance? Well, the answer early against Alabama State, the champions of the SWAC, was not a resounding, okay, Auburn has fixed its issues. They led by 10 at the break, 41-31. But this game had a one-point lead for the Tigers in the opening half, late in the opening half before Auburn does rally in the second half, winning that one by 10, 83-63. Alabama State easily covers as a 32.5-point underdog. Sure, Auburn wins by 20, but it wasn't the easiest opening round win you will ever see for a one seed versus a 16 seed.
Yeah, you got to make your free throws there. Only shot 56%. But also, having said that, it was sort of that, like, wait a second, what is going on in this first half where you knew they weren't going to lose the game, but then you start to question how far you have Auburn going, heading down the back end of the season, not playing as good a basketball, even though you're playing really good competition on a night-to-night basis. And the thought process behind Auburn round number one was, boy, let's get in there and beat this team by 50 to get those good vibes going. I didn't necessarily subscribe to that theory, but didn't think they couldn't cover that large number. But this was a two or three possession game late in the first half before Auburn stretched it out to 10 points and then sort of took control right away in the second half, as expected for a team of Auburn's ilk. But I don't leave this game feeling worse for the wear, Glenn. Like, oh, now I'm really won. They only won by 20 at this point. Sometimes you just have to find your footing again, even when you're not playing your best basketball. Still a 20-point win. They'll take it. They'll move on. And I expect a much better, clean effort on offense in the round of 32.
DRS, less than 4 minutes remaining in the opening half. The Hornets cut this to a 3-point margin. I jumped in on Auburn Live as an 18.5-point favorite, down from a 32.5-point favorite pregame. Did hit the live bet, but of course it wasn't the easiest live bet we will ever see. Auburn and Creighton, 1-9 matchup in the South region on Saturday. And then, of course, we have Michigan and Texas A&M. That is the top portion of the South region. Let's keep it moving elsewhere around the bracket. An 11-6, we saw Drake knock off Missouri. An 11-6, where Donnie, both you and I thought VCU probably had a better performance in them than what we saw on display on Thursday in Denver. Yeah, that didn't really come to fruition. BYU continues to play good basketball. They've won 10 of their last 11. And frankly, they handle the Rams, the champions of the A-10, yesterday, 80-71. The Cougars cover as a 2.5-point favorite.
I mean, even you're looking at the game itself, you say for VCU, Ben, 15 of 38 from three-point range, 40%. You say, if you would have told me that before the game, they beat the BYU Cougars. They just couldn't stop the BYU Cougars on offense. And overall, you only get six total free throw attempts for VCU. That's not good enough when the other team shot 28 times from the floor. You weren't looking at that game saying, well, the refs were impeding. No, BYU was crashing the glass and forcing the issue here. They were the better team yesterday. No excuses.
Plenty more from Thursday as we recap it on a Friday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, we continue to recap everything we saw in the round of 64 Thursday at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament, bright and early here on this Friday morning. DRS, we're looking at the West region, BYU, VCU. The Cougars good yesterday, 80-71. A victory for Kevin Young, who gets BYU a victory in the big dance for the first time in a long time. They have won 10 of their last 11. The only loss in the Big 12 tournament semifinals to Houston, and they have covered in all 10 of those victories as well. A really good BYU team setting up a great round of 32 matchup in Denver on Saturday against Wisconsin. The Badgers handle business against Montana, the Grizz, the champions of the Big Sky. Was a little bit tight early in the second half, but we saw a lot of points once again. Not your father's Wisconsin offense. 85 points for the Badgers, 18th time this season that Greg Gard Ford and company have scored at least 80 points. That's the most in a single season for Wisconsin in program history.
Yeah, about Tanjay yesterday, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Wasn't efficient, to say the least, in the last game we saw him in the Big Ten Conference Championship game, but picks up 15 points. Didn't need him all that much. Got some pretty good bench efforts. But understand this. Wisconsin loves the three-point shot. You know what I like even more? When the three-point shot isn't necessarily going down in waves, you still have other ways to win. 16 of 20 from the free throw line, which is 80% as a team, but 55% overall as a team from the floor. That's enough to get it done. It's a fun brand of basketball, and these are the couple games that we picked out in this East region where you say to yourself, all right, you got some teams that are real fluid on offense, real fun, some true shot makers, and you are going to get that in round number two, as Ben pointed out. Looking forward to that game maybe more than any other game because it's aesthetically pleasing for your boy DRS to watch open offenses and drop three-point shots and have some fun out there.
DRS, the odds makers expect it to be a great tilt tomorrow in Denver, a minus 1.5 point spread in favor of Wisconsin. 16 cents of difference on the money line, total at 154.5. That's the only game, or the only round of 32 matchup we have seen decided in the East region. A lot of action today, including the top team in that portion of the bracket, Duke. We did get word yesterday, of course, that Cooper Flagg is good to go. The Blue Devils take on Mount St. Mary's as a 32.5 point favorite. Let's head up to the Midwest region, where the team on the top line in that portion of the bracket, the Houston Cougars. DRS, I do not want to be a 16 seed taking on Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs if there is something to prove for Houston, as there often is. Houston, a big victory over SIU Edwardsville, 78-48. We ran the Fade the Public poll yesterday. Which big favorite do we expect to win comfortably, cruise to a cover? Both you and I voted for Houston. You see why. 78-40. Houston easily covers as a 28.5 point favorite. Last year in the round of 64, won their opening round game by 40. This year, 38. And yet, SIUE scored 24 points in the opening half. Their team total for the Cougars, the champions of the Ohio Valley, entering the game was already minimal at 48.5. You thought they were on great pace to hit that. 16 points in those final 20 minutes. That Houston defense elite once more.
Yeah, pour some out there for the total backers as well, who saw a 52-24 game by going, Houston's probably going to get at least 85 to 90 points in this game, and over the final 6 minutes, they won't care, and the defense will be lax. That didn't happen. It was like, what happened to the offense in the second half? 26-16 here in a game where you saw Houston easily win, but you're right about it. Houston's one of the few teams here that there are some key teams out here, Ben, right? Good basketball programs whose marquee footprint is like, you know, we play good defense. But Houston really just takes it up a level where you see that team total at 48.5, and your brain immediately thinks it's got to be better than that, or they'll still be around that number. And you get 24 at the break in a blowout, which is perfect because you would have been nervous if it was 29-24 at the break. Houston, go, all right, enough, enough's enough. We're going to play great defense and really get out of here. But the fact that they were blowing them out, only gave up 16 points in the second half, is incredible. Houston's one of a kind. They can bring this type of grind, the effort. I always talk about like St. John's can do the same things, but Houston is St. John's on steroids, the way they can bring it. And they have the MO of the past couple of years of being a really good basketball team. Maybe it's a year for Kelvin Sampson at Houston.
Five consecutive trips at least to the Sweet 16, a Final Four bid, an Elite Eight run in there as well. Houston has a very difficult round of 32 matchup, though, for a one seed in the Midwest region, because Gonzaga, as we found out very quickly yesterday, DRS, has no business being on the eight line. 89-68. The Zags absolutely rout Georgia, easily covering as a 6.5 point favorite. Gonzaga started the game on a 13-0 spurt. They led 23-3 less than 8 minutes in to that game and led by 21 at the half, winning by 21. Mark Few's Gonzaga Bulldogs have not dropped a round of 64 game since Stephen Curry was at Davidson. That's the last time Gonzaga lost in their opening game in the Big Dance. The Zags will have an opportunity to continue their Sweet 16 streak. They do take on Houston, however, tomorrow in the round of 32.
Streaks on the line, and maybe like, because without seeing the way the games finished today in the matchups, I can't imagine a better round two matchup with eyes on a focus for Houston is sensational. And you go, well, Mark Few is going to have those answers with a, you know, major team right here that's ready to play and playing their best basketball at the end of the season, which included knocking off St. Mary's in an ugly performance in the WCC conference, and now dropping 89 on an SEC team and easily dispatching them, where some people are saying, my computer screen is wrong. What does this score actually say to open this game? 48 yeah. points in the first half, cruise to victory all the way out. I cannot wait to see that matchup between Houston and Gonzaga in round number two.
Looking for their 10th consecutive Sweet 16 appearance. We just talked about how Houston is hoping for Sweet 16 bid number six in a row. That game, Saturday, 8:40 p.m. Eastern time, a 4.5-point spread in favor of the Cougs.
Oh,
total
wow.
at 139.5. DRS will fill out the rest of the Midwest region. All of the action around out Thursday in the round of 64 on the other side of the break. But what a game we have in the round of 32 between Houston and Gonzaga. I don't understand the committee sometimes. The Zags rank eighth in the net rankings. The metric the committee uses first and foremost, and yet we're the eighth seed in the Midwest portion of the bracket. Plenty more from around the big dance on this Friday on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Let's continue to tell the tale of Thursday at the round of 64 in the men's big dance and what we saw in the Midwest region. DRS, a lot in the Midwest has already been figured out for the round of 32. A matchup we really didn't dive into much yesterday, UCLA and Utah State. We got to it quickly, the Aggies and the Bruins, Utah State out of the Mountain West, UCLA, of course, in its first year in the Big Ten. Donnie, as you and I were looking at the game, we both kind of leaned with UCLA. As I was examining it further, wasn't in love by a Utah State team that still won 26 games this year. Felt it would be an easy win for UCLA, and it was. The Bruins cover as a 5.5-point favorite, absolutely routing Utah State, who has a good offense, 72-47. 25-point win for Mick Cronin and his Bruins in round number one.
Yeah, shout out the Mountain West Conference at this point for really putting on a show at San Diego State and Utah State so far. You shoot 4 from 31 from three-point range. That'll doom you every single time. Shoot 30%. We know the calling card for UCLA is they're going to play good defense. I actually thought this was a very good chance for an upset spot here for Utah State, being the 10th seed versus the 7th seed UCLA Bruins. It wasn't the case, and it was a wrap early on in this game. They just strangled them from the three-point line, played great defense. They're moving on. Another case of maybe outsmart yourself a little bit. Bigger conference there in the Big Ten, taking on a smaller conference in the Mountain West. But the Mountain West got a lot of hype this year. They have some good basketball teams, but boy, they're not showing that on the national stage. They're worthy right now, which gets me a little nervous for Colorado State. But yesterday was a UCLA day, man.
Yes, it certainly was. DRS, first time this year for Utah State scoring south of 60 points. The 20th most efficient offense in the country only put up 47 against UCLA. Speaking of the Mountain West, in the last six NCAA tournaments dating back to the 2019 Big Dance, San Diego State, 7-5, including, of course, that magical run 2 years ago, the national championship runner-ups coming up just short against UConn. The only team, San Diego State, last year out of six from the Mountain West to see the second weekend. The other six schools from the Mountain West Conference that have reached the big dance in this six-year window outside of San Diego State, 2-15. Keep an eye on Colorado State today, a team that has a 12 seed, is booked as a favorite against a 5 seed in Memphis. Tennessee, the 2 seed in the Midwest portion of the bracket, tested by Wofford, the good shooting champions of the SoCon, but ultimately Tennessee does prevail, winning by 15. However, the Terriers do cover as that 18.5-point dog.
Yeah, again, key ingredient here. Nobody really thought the Wofford Terriers were going to come in and beat SEC, Tennessee Volunteers here, and they didn't. But also, if you do want a team that has a chance to strike the upset, not saying that Wofford did, down close to double digits at the break, lost the second half as well, you need a team that with the ability to shoot the three-point shot, 11 of 26 for 42%. As long as you have that in your arsenal, you can keep some of these games close. So even when you're matching up with teams that you don't technically match up with, sometimes you just can't do anything with defending the three-point line with a good offense. Wofford knocks some of those shots down, which is why they end up covering that spread. 17.5, 18.5 were out there yesterday. Wofford got the job done. Didn't win a game, but probably backed the people that backed them, pretty happy with their outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. Top of the Midwest region. We'll just quickly, 2-7 matchup, round of 32 tomorrow between the Vols and the Bruins. Expected to be a defensive grind.
Defense.
132.5 is the total. Tennessee around a 4.5-point favorite. All right, DRS, that's the Midwest region. You also see the 12 seed in McNeese. Can they continue the run? They will take on Purdue. Many people thought the Boilermakers might be ripe for an upset yesterday against High Point. The Big South champion held to their season low, just 63 points against the Boilermakers. Much more defense, frankly, on both sides than I anticipated. Purdue does win by 12, though, 75-63. Matt Painter's crew covering as a 7.5-point favorite.
They'll take that, because if you figure an ugly effort of 33% from the three-point line and 63% from the free throw line, only 45% shooting. Oh, no, Purdue went home early again, Ben? Wasn't the case. I like wins like that. Don't bring your A game. Yeah. Still win by double digits. When that A game does kick in, you'll be better for it. And Purdue, very good and very efficient on offense. Going to get a tussle here from a really good and athletic defensive team in McNeese. I think Purdue's got a good matchup, though, with that. I don't think they'll turn the basketball over, hit their open shots. I think they'll be not worse for the wear, where you saw Clemson like, we don't have any answers until the second half. Purdue can't afford that, and they won't.
The rest of the round of 64 scores from our 16 games yesterday. Texas Tech and UNC Wilmington. In the final game of the day, the Red Raiders got tested. A single possession game for a good portion of the second half. Texas Tech wins by 10, 82-72. UNC Dub, the champions of the CAA, do cover as an 18.5-point dog. And we talked about St. John's. They win by 30, but only up by 5 at the break. Plenty more when hour 2 comes your way next.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.